Our gospel lesson for this morning, we are reading from the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, and we begin in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again, it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pray. Father, we thank you. We pray, Lord, for your Spirit to continue to move in the service. And I just pray, Lord, that you will just go in someone's heart right now, knowing that they're hiding something of fear, of dissatisfaction, of brokenness. And I just pray, Lord, your loving Spirit can go in their hearts and start the restoration. We just pray, Lord, for miracle after miracle, all the way up to Easter. In people's lives, in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, Amen. I have a dream that I've been dreaming about for years. It's a reoccurring dream that I have, that I dream that one day that I will be completely healed from my tremors. Completely healed by the dystonia or Parkinson's, or I've been told that cerebral palsy. But that's one of my dreams. I'd say, Lord, can you heal this? My dream is to be healed from my learning disabilities because I have to learn in such a different way. I dream that I could speak correctly and not mispronounce certain words, that I don't have to work at certain words and say it and say it and say it, and then it comes out wrong when I preach. I have a reoccurring dream that I can fit in to the society that we live in that teaches us that we need to be a certain way and act a certain way. And I've noticed that dream of mine comes out of a spirit of dissatisfaction. Most of our dreams do, don't they? They come out of dissatisfaction, so when we can get that dream, when we can hold on to that dream, therefore I will be complete and I'll be fulfilled and I will fit in and never stick out. The recurring dream that a lot of us have, whether it's dissatisfaction. And then I've learned this, that out of that dissatisfaction, how in the world can I learn to be complete now? If you look on the screen, it says, and this is one thing that I've learned, I'm a beloved son of God, in whom God takes much delight, even despite of your brokenness. See, it's fascinating that I'm on the Minister on Educational Guidance Board, and so I get the privilege to see people work themselves in ministry. Like if you guys remember Pastor Trish, where she was part of the staff here, and she was ordained elder in our denomination. Pastor Marzette Williams, we had the privilege of watching her grow into the eldership. We've seen Pastor Dan Davidson from Pasadena, and now he's a senior pastor there. Randall Jr., our youth pastor, working on his deaconship. We've seen Pastor Marissa grow up in her eldership. And just last Thursday, Robin Ryan just was voted by the MEG board unanimously for recommendation to be ordained elder this coming May. And I look at these people and I go, my goodness, if I had their gifts, if I had their talents, then I would be satisfied. Because I remember when I met with the MEG board back in 1991 for my conference ministerial candidate. And I always tell people this, when you're meeting with the MEG board, and if you want to know how you're doing, how you did at that interview, listen to the prayer, how they pray for you. Because you can tell if they're praying, God, this person needs help. You know you don't do well. And so I remember 1991, after the MEG board, they pray over you. They lay their hands upon you. And so I'm thinking in my head, this is going well. So I listen to the prayer. And I'm not joking. Lady laid her hands on me. And she began to pray. And she said, like Moses. And I'm going, man, I'm compared to Moses now. This is great. I'm getting compared to Moses. Just like Moses, where you couldn't understand a word he said. That you would send someone in his life to speak beyond. And I'm going, oh my goodness, this went terrible. I'm not making this up. And so at that time when I went in the ministry, I realized that God is going to use your disabilities and use them to enhance his kingdom. That he'll use your brokenness that you wish would go away, that he can use them to make it into incredible ministry. That when people look at you or look through your experience, they go, dang, dude, that's the Lord moving through that guy because that's not his own abilities. And so therefore, I've learned, I go back and forth on dreaming, and now I begin to dream out of completeness with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit manifests in your life, then your dreams become aligned with his will. And then you watch your dreams are based on fulfillment, and your dreams based on what you want other people to see in your life. We're in the 40 days of Lent, and I want to share with you that I'm starting a new series that is called Give It a Rest. And one thing that your pastor needs to do, he needs to give it a rest on his dissatisfaction. I need this to stop. I need to embrace on how God has created me and how he's made me. And if he chooses to heal me, he chooses. If not, he can continue to use me. A lot of us sit there and just wait until we are healed from every aspect in our life. And then we say we can be moved in a mighty way. And so we follow the Revived Common Lectionary. And if you look at this scripture, it's always focusing on Jesus' temptation. And I look at this through my life, through my experiences, and I look at this, and it's basically Jesus giving a roadmap through his own wilderness. And it gives us an exciting time. You and I go through wilderness all the time. Whether it's 40 days or 40 years, or we're still going through the wilderness. And so if you look on the screen, temptation is a voice that amplifies our sense of privilege and resulting of dissatisfaction. It then attempts to get us to satisfy our dissatisfaction through our own means, power, and control, rather than trusting in God's faithful voice and action. In the story that we read, Adam and Eve, man, you look through the filters of dissatisfaction, you can see what's going on with them. Man, they had everything. Every time I've heard a lot of Christians always get mad at Eve or get mad at Adam for blowing it for us. Well, somebody else would have blown it for you. So it's not Adam and Eve. And so Adam and Eve had everything they needed at their fingertips. That God had provided every gift for them. But yet when the tempter came, guess what he tempted them with? Dissatisfaction, privilege, entitlement. And so therefore there was one thing in the that God said, this is off limits. That they thought, this will give me fulfilled. This is what I want. You ever chased something like that? And all of a sudden, when Adam and Eve achieved what they thought would give them fulfillment, guess what? It totally destroyed them. And I see this over and over and over, guys, where all of a sudden we chase something, especially extramarital affairs. I've seen the sense of entitlement, the sense of fulfillment. If I just felt loved, if I just do this. And so therefore they'll chase something and grab hold on to it. And therefore it would destroy every aspect of who they are in their families. If you look on the screen, I've learned this at a young age. What you grab hold of will grab hold of you. You think you have a hold on it, but it really has a hold on you. And we say words like, I can't let it go. I've got to make this work. And I'm thinking, who's holding who? And so then we look at the bigger picture. We look at Adam and Eve. We look at the bigger picture when it comes to Genesis and Exodus, when it comes to the Israelites moving out of slavery, where Moses saved them from slavery. Now, if you watch the Ten Commandments, because that's how theologically I learn. Just kidding. You look at the Ten Commandments, you know, all of a sudden we know about the Red Sea, don't we? It's the hugest miracle in the world. But yet they saw God's mighty hand, but yet they go out in the wilderness, and God was trying to give them a message. I put it on the screen. You are my beloved people. Listen to my voice and learn to trust me that I'm going to supply your need. And as we read that story, we can see that God provided the manna all the time. Provided cloud by day and fire by night. He provided every need that they had at that moment. But yet, they had a spirit of dissatisfaction. They had a spirit of entitlement, a privilege. And they got where God wanted to relearn them, to teach them, to listen to his voice rather than their own. And guess what? They wanted to go back into slavery. They thought we were better off to go back to slavery. Because they found out it was way too difficult to trust God's voice. Look back on the screen. Adam and Eve and the children of Israel are representations of all of us. We often listen to the voice of temptation that amplifies our dissatisfaction and causes us to use our own means, power, and control to reach out and grab for things that we think will bring us satisfaction. When we do so, we fail to trust God. And we lose the sight of who we are. So along comes Jesus as a human being that's going to face the same wilderness. But prior to that, he was baptized by John the Baptist. I love that story. And when he was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." But guess what? Right after that great spiritual height, the Spirit led him out in the desert to be tempted. And it says here in verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards it says he was famished. Other translations say that he was hungry, which I think is a major understatement, but we'll go with that. 40 days. And it's interesting the parallels between Exodus and Matthew, where all of a sudden that the Israelites went through the water and into the wilderness, and Jesus went through the baptisms of water into the wilderness to be tempted. So the devil decides to play little games with him, as he plays the games with us. And the devil is, the thing is, he doesn't change because what he does works. And so his little system of doing things, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He uses the same old strategy, trying to focus Jesus on entitlement, trying to focus Jesus on dissatisfaction. It says in verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, I love this two-letter word, the word if, I-F. Because you know what he was doing? He was giving, trying to get him to have a sense of entitlement. If you're the Son of God, you're entitled. You have privilege. You can do it. You have the power. And so, therefore, he's saying there's no need for you to be hungry. You can use your gifts and turn all these rocks into bread. And so he's trying to amplify this dissatisfaction in Jesus, saying, go ahead, grab it. And now we have a human being for the first time in Scripture that actually passed this test. Because follow me in there. And this is a test that we go through all the time when it comes to dissatisfaction. But he answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, do you see what Jesus was doing that we can do? He had a choice. Which voice is he going to tune into? Dissatisfaction or the voice of God? To be obedient, to trust him. And this is where it gets really deep for me, because basically we have the same challenge in our own lives when we get tempted. Do I listen to the self-entitlement of mine, or do I listen to the voice of God? And then Satan says, you want to play this game? We'll play it. You want to use scripture? I know scripture. It's fascinating because all the scripture that the devil uses is from the book of Psalms. And so he says, okay, we'll play this game. Verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. What was he trying to get? The ego. Our ego, man, when that kicks in, it's all over. We're listening to ourselves. Because if you have control issues like me, the ego is the one that motivates the control. Because we like to be right. And so therefore, if you are the Son of God, then why in the world are you suffering, he's saying. And don't you want people to know who you are? So he says the temple. It's interesting when he says the temple, because guess what? The temple is in the center of the city. So he doesn't say, hey, go on the outskirts, go on the mountain and jump off, because no one will see you. Go right in the temple. That's where everyone's going to see you. And do this spectacular magic trip, and then all of a sudden they'll know you're the Son of God. See, we got those egos, don't we? If you try doing something and no one notices it, you're just going, doggone it. Oh. You know, every once in a while when Jennifer tells me to do something, and she does, and I do it, and if she doesn't say anything, or I cling something, which is very unusual, and she doesn't notice, guess what? Did you notice? Do you do that? Am I the only one who does that? I'm just confessing here, okay? And so basically, that goes in the ego. And so therefore, he's saying the angels will catch you. So therefore, that dissatisfaction is going to go away. The privilege, use it. That entitlement, use it. And everyone's going to see and entice the ego. But Jesus says, follow me on the screen. Again, it is written, do not put the Lord, your God, to the test. Again, Jesus chose to listen to God's voice again, not the voice of dissatisfaction. There's a battle that you and I have all the time, every day. Do we listen to the voice of dissatisfaction, or do we listen to the voice of God? And this is interesting because he's not done. Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9 says, again, the devil took him to the very high place of the mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And so what is he appealing to now? Power. We love power, don't we? We love control. It's called politics. Don't get ahead of me. Just follow me, okay? Because we know how strong you guys feel about this, but don't get ahead of me. It happens everywhere. Politics are within the home, within the church, within work, and even within the highest level of government we know. But people love power because we love control. And usually when we gravitate towards power in our own personal life, it's from dissatisfied. It's from weakness. And basically, devil's saying, look, you're going to have all this power, but you got to do it my way. You got to do it, worship me. The way Satan does it is through force, through violence, through control, through oppressiveness. And we see that in the world today. And absolute power, we know, absolutely corrupts, doesn't it? And Jesus didn't want to play that game. And so then Jesus, if you look on the screen, Jesus knew that he had a mission. But he knew that he could not accomplish God's mission using the devil's means. So again, Jesus comes back, guess what? Tuning into God's voice through his word, he He says in verse 10, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And Jesus was tested, and he refused to grab a hold of him. He believed the word of God. He obeyed the word of God. And then notice in verse 11 what happened. Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited upon him. In the end, God sent his angels to meet Jesus' needs. God met Jesus' needs. And what's interesting, if you look at the commands that he was quoting, was from Genesis and Exodus, was the same commands God gave the Israelites when they were in the desert. The same things, but he was obeying it. You and I, when we go through the wilderness and we're saying, okay, God, where are you? We'll do what Satan does. We'll quote promises out of content, but we'll do it. But you notice Jesus was quoting commands to be obedient, to do it. We often get it wrong sometimes when we face temptation, when we face the wilderness. Look on the screen. Jesus' flesh screamed out for satisfaction. The world was seductively calling him, and the devil himself offered him incredible power, but Jesus did not grab for any of them. He was committed to surviving by living off of God's word at his baptism. Jesus set off on a mission that would lead him to one day take up the cross to redeem the world. The temptation that Jesus faced was meant to distract, to discourage, and to divert him from carrying out God's calling on his life to be the Savior. It's interesting, all of us have a calling in life, and that calling is to serve. We have the same purpose as Jesus, but the thing is, we get off track, don't we? We get self-centered, we get dissatisfied, we gravitate towards power, we gravitate towards narcissistic type attitudes. And so therefore, we have to realize during Lent, we need to let go of things that have a hold of us and to let it go. And for me, it's a spirit of dissatisfaction. We begin to really see what we're holding on to that's absorbing our joy. And so back on the screen, at our baptism, we claim our true identity, beloved child of God. We are set on a path of loving servanthood of both God and our neighbor. The temptation we face is there to divert us from the path. We stay on a path. When we, like Jesus, renounce the voice of the tempter, we do that by hearing the commands of God and obeying them. And those commands are all summed up in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So in the next 7 weeks, let's let go. Let's get over it. Let's embrace what God has intended for us as a church and us as individual. If you've not been baptized, I've had four already say, I want to be baptized Easter Sunday. This whole series will be pointing to our baptism vows to remind us who we are, that we are God's beloved daughters and God's beloved son in whom he is well pleased. What more do I need? Think about this. What more do I need? How do I have a spirit of dissatisfaction when God himself says, Kevin, I delight in you. And you, God says, I delight in you. It's not based on your performance. It's based on his performance. It's not based on your brokenness. It's based on his healness. That's what's amazing about this. And so if you've not been baptized, I want you to look at your connection card and say, hey, yeah, Easter Sunday, I want to be baptized. But if you've already been baptized, some of us need to reaffirm that baptism and remind us who we really are, and we are children of God. I also want you to encourage you to go out to receive our weekly Give It a Rest sermon follow-up guides. $9.99 a night. No, I'm not. I can't do that. They're free. But anyway, we wrote these follow-up guides that basically, if you sign up for them, you'll be sent this week, and you can ask questions, get together, and say, you know what, these are areas I need. Look at your connection cards. There's three things that I want to encourage you to do. The connection card may say, I'm interested in being baptized on Easter. Or I'm interested in reaffirming my baptism on Easter. We would like to send you an email. or please send me the weekly Give It a Rest sermon follow-up guides. And so it's interesting. Somebody asked, well, I won't say that. So we'll go into our time of prayer and time of communion together. And I want to encourage you, as you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, this is a time that you can reaffirm your baptism or be baptized. May the Lord bless you, and the name of the Lord bless his word.